got it there, just turn there with us. Gospel of Matthew chapter 9. We'll talk about these last two verses for just a few minutes this morning. And, we still got plenty of time. Amen. You know, a lot of these mega churches talk about having two and three services a day. We do that in shifts, don't we? Amen. Hallelujah. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Now, Jesus said this right after he had looked upon the multitudes, moved with compassion. And I know we've been preaching, and the Lord's been dealing a lot lately with the lost and us. You know, we need to understand that. That we need to keep our sins under the blood. That's right. We don't preach eternal security here. You know, we believe you've got to keep your sins under the blood. Forgiveness. Amen. In the Lord's Prayer, he said that we ought to pray, Father, forgive us of our debts, our transgressions, as we forgive those who trespass against us. That ought to be the heart of our prayer, is keeping our sins and wrongdoings, amen, repented of. The Lord said, should cause grace abound, should we sin the more that grace may abound? What'd he say? God forbid. Sin is forbidden. You remember the little woman that came caught in adultery? You know, adultery, Job said adultery was a heinous crime. It's a heinous crime. But there's forgiveness for adultery. But you know what he told that little woman when she came and committed adultery right in the very act? He said to her, go and sin no more. He forgave her, and then he forbid her. You know, true repentance, you know, I know you think it's off, but it ain't really off. But you know, a lot of times people think they're asking repenting of their sins when they feel bad about it, when they get in church and feel bad, and they come to church and tell the Lord they're sorry, and then they get up and do the same thing on the way home. They haven't really repented, have they? See, to repent is to forsake your sins. Now, I know when I got saved and I told the Lord, I love you. If you'll save me, I'll quit this sinning business. I didn't know if I could because I never had been able to. But I trusted the Lord that whatever he could do for me to help me not to do it no more, that I would let him help me if he would. And he did. He did. To my amazement, he did. He helped me the next day, the next week, and for 30-some years later, he still helps you. Amen. Now, I really feel like mentioning this to the church here. You know, we need to get conditioned by the Holy Ghost in such a way that we can somehow or another help somebody else. Did I say something wrong? Let me see if I was trying. We need to get conditioned by the Holy Ghost some way to where we can go out and help somebody else. That's what Jesus, he looked upon this multitude, and I don't know, you know, how do you look upon the multitude? How do I look upon it? He looked on them and was moved with compassion. He felt sorry for them. And then he says this to his disciples. He says, the harvest is plenteous. Well, now what did he mean by that? How many knows that God intends for his people to be workers in the field? There's God, he wants you to bear fruit. Huh? He wants you to win souls. How many knows that the remedy for our lost world is to be converted, amen, by the gospel and power of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the remedy. You know, we almost have, our society has almost got religion into a category with just, you know, it's kind of like a game show. You've got different categories of questions, and that's just one of the categories. You know, that's not true. For pure religion is a powerful thing. It is what God ordained. The Bible said that he ordained the foolishness of preaching whereby men could be saved. Amen. Come on, church, help me now. Not foolish preaching, but the foolishness of preaching. Amen. Without it, what did Romans 10, I believe it is, say? It says, how can one hear? Except there, how can he be saved if he has not heard? And how can he hear without a preacher? You say, well, brother, I'll tell you what. I don't know. And you know, what do you think the Lord would say this morning? I'm not going to talk to you much longer, but what do you think the Lord would say this morning looking if he was standing here bodily and look out over the world we have today? He'd look at the White House and shake his head like we do a lot of time. He'd look at the Congress and the Senate. He looked at the school systems and the Hollywood. And I think, you know what I think he'd say? I think he'd say, the harvest is plenteous. The potential is out of this world. Then what's the problem? What did he say was lacking in this scripture? Laborers. Laborers in the harvest. Amen. Amen. Oh, God, help us this morning. The Lord looked, you remember when his disciples came from town and he was sitting on the well, and they had went into town like most of us preachers do. We was looking for a good place to eat. And he probably went over to Cheddar's or somewhere, and they came back with some bread. The Lord was sitting there on the well. And when they came up, they saw that there was this woman sitting on the well or there near the well with the Lord. And so they, you know, they came up, and when she saw them coming, she took off into the city. And, you know, they was watching. And then they come up and they said, Lord, did anybody bring the Lord? Lord, have you ate? Have you ate? Now you say, well, you're going to preach against eating? No. Oh, no. But they said, Lord, do you have any meat? You haven't had lunch. You was with us. We didn't stop and eat. We haven't ate yet. You haven't ate all day. Are you not hungry, Lord? And the Lord said this right here, and I want you to hear this. He said, I have meat that you know not of. Why didn't them disciples? Now, don't laugh at them, because they're kin to us, double first cousins. Huh? They said, what's he talking about here? Did you give him any? I didn't give him anything. Well, maybe that woman we saw, maybe he bought something off of her. What do you mean, Lord? You've got meat to eat. And he said this. He said, my meat is to do the will of my Father. Oh, boy. You ain't getting this, I don't think. But brother, what is our meat? You know, what keeps us alive? What do we survive on? You know, you can be around somebody, it don't take you very long. Even the quietest, meekest person, you can just about tell what their chief interest is. Huh? And you know, we have varied interests. Everybody has little hobbies and little things they like to get involved in, and you know, but you know, you can really tell if you stay very long, you can tell what really it motivates their life. Huh? What motivated the Son of God? He told us, he said, I have meat to eat that you don't know of. I've got a mystery meat here that's keeping me alive. You know, I've seen people through my years of living. I've watched people. And you know, they seek satisfaction in this old world, and it never, 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 never is found. Never. That's like that woman that he talked to. Five husbands she had, and the one she had now was not her own. And she was a miserable woman, even a little bit religious. Our fathers prayed in this mountain. Amen. But she was as lost as she could be till he dealt with her heart. And then you look what happened to her. While these disciples were standing around saying, hey, are you not going to eat? What are you talking about, meat? This woman was in that city telling them, come and see a man. Hey, man, I'm telling you, she got excited. Are y'all going to listen to me preach a little bit? Huh? Jesus looked on that multitude and said, they're like sheep without a shepherd. I'm touched for them. And said, look at the harvest. The harvest is plenteous. Amen. I believe God wants us to have a revival. Amen. Of souls and lives converted and changed right here in this little church here by the highway. Amen. But you know what he needs? And he needs somebody. He said, the laborers are few. The harvest is plenteous. There's needs everywhere you look. Amen. There is needs. Amen. But where are the laborers? And he said this. What did he say to his disciples? Pray. How did it say it? Are you there? What did it say? Pray. Pray for, let me read it to you. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Now, I know I don't have a long time this morning, and really there's a long sermon right here. I don't know, let me ask you, do you feel your responsibility to be a laborer in the harvest? That's slick right there. Huh? Do you feel your responsibility? You say, now I know you feel the preacher's responsibility. But you know, that's really not the plan. He told every one of those disciples, and look who went to that upper room. There wasn't just those preachers. Jesus' mother was in that upper room. 120 was in that upper room. And he said, you tarry at Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. And after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, I feel the Lord. I know it's as dead as last year's bird nest. Huh? But I want to tell you, God wants you to be a laborer in his harvest. You say, you mean we're all called to preach and just be able to drive around and eat chicken and have an eternal vacation? You've got the wrong concept somewhere. Huh? Huh? You got the wrong concept. Yeah. The Bible said, he that winneth souls is wise. How many knows that to win something, you must contend? When was the last time the Lord laid somebody on your heart to try to win them to the Lord? You know? It could be somebody that you work with. Somebody you run into at the supermarket. That's all right. I don't care if it gets quiet. I'm home. Don't scare me. Huh? You say, well, preacher, that's your job. Well, thanks. What's yours? Huh? The harvest is plenteous. You see, I've never seen a darker hour than we're in. That ought to make our lights brighter than ever. Well, you know, it's in the end time. We can't have revival in the end time. The Bible said, whosoever calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what the Lord said to those disciples? The laborers are few. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. The harvest. He said, he told those disciples that were talking about meat, he said, I've got meat. Hey, amen. I want to ask you this morning, every one of the precious flock in my church, I'll tell you what, our church will be transformed if we can get our people to begin to feed and thrive and live off the fact they're doing the will of the Father. Huh? Jesus said, that's my, it don't matter if you're a retired coal miner, if you're a construction worker, computer whiz, it don't matter what you do. In the field that you're in, that is the field. What is the field? The world is the field. Amen. So, praise God. I think really that God is still looking for laborers in the field. Amen. In order to be a laborer, praise God, naturally, amen, we're going to have, amen, God's grace and power and the Holy Ghost. We're going to have to know the Word of God. We're going to have to know how to answer anybody, amen, and give them the answer for the hope that we have. We're going to have to show them some hope. Amen. Are you going to help me preach a little bit? We're going to have to show them hope, and then they'll be inquisitive. How do you have such hope? How have you made it? As long, why are you living for God? Why do you go to church? Why won't you do the things we do? Well, I'll tell you, the Lord set me free from that. He washed me in His blood. He saved me. There's a plan for you. God loves you. He can convert you. If you'll ask the Lord to forgive you, He'll forgive you. Hallelujah. We've got the concept that people's got to, we got to invite them to the church, and the preacher will get after him. But how many knows that half the time when you come, the preacher don't have the sermon that reaches. But I'll tell you what matters. You say, well, the preacher ought to pray through and know who's going to be there.
Boy, man, I need a raise for my mystical powers here.
Oh, I do know God. I do know God. Amen. Deals. I know God. You've seen it happen right here. People come that we don't know is going to come, and God drop it right in their lap. I know that. But hey, amen, you're with them every day. You've got their phone number. Amen. You meet them at the family reunion. You see them all the time. Amen. Why don't you condition them, amen, for the gospel? Amen. And if they want to, why don't you just go somewhere and pray through with them? Convert them. Win them to the Lord. He that turneth many to righteousness shall shine in that other world like the stars in the firmament. Soul winners. I really believe sometimes that when we get to that end of that journey, sometimes, you know, there's that preacher that pastored that church for 50 years, and he's over here with a little crown on his head, and then here's this little old lady with a giant what in the world's happened here? I never heard her say nothing in church. But she's won people to the Lord with her chastened conversation and her burden for God. Y'all believe that? You know, anymore, and I don't mean to say this wrong. I hope you don't say I love people. And people's welcome to come to this church if they feel like that they can survive under me and feel like I can be their pastor. You know, But, you know, I would like to see some converts, not just trade members around like baseball cards. Huh? Wouldn't you? I mean, I'm glad for anybody, if they're in a church that they're not getting functioning and God's not, you know, not getting hearing the truth or whatever, you know, they're welcome. But wouldn't you like to see somebody converted? How many like to see somebody converted? Right with God. Pray through. Throw all the sinful things away and come to church Man, I tell you, it would set us off, wouldn't it? I'm telling you, some of y'all, it's like driftwood would probably shout if we get somebody just come in here and pray through and say, I found the Lord. There's more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that comes to repentance than 99 just that need no repentance. And I love to shout. And, you know, and we get in mentality sometimes, what kind of meet? Oh, we had a great meeting last night. No preaching. It makes the preacher feel like only the bad services is when he preaches. Huh? But you know what really ought to put us to shouting? Really ought to put us to shouting is somebody gets saved. They killed the fatted calf. Huh? What's all that noise up there? That old boy wanted to know. Well, that's your brother's come home. And I know, hey, church, I know we're about 100 miles away from this message this morning. I know that. But I'm preaching to you trying to get us back. Back to the mission, what we're supposed to be doing. Oh, I know it's just one of many things. The church is ordained to glorify God and bring glory to Him. I know that. But we're also like a city set on a hill. We're like a light. That's what the church, ye are the light of the world. Huh? All right, stand with me. I know I've wore you out.